When a Brit comes to Croatia, yeah. opens a bar on the ancient walls of Zadar, yeah. starts a festival that changes local community, and along the way starts a brewery and brew great beer.
Yeah.
His name yeah. must be Nick Colgan. Nick, oh, welcome.
Hi.
Hi.
Yeah, that's me, yeah. It's mad when you say like that, but yeah.
Yeah,
it's a journey.
It's a journey. It's a really great journey. So when was actually the first time when you thought, you know, I'm going to leave all behind and go to Zadar and open a bar?
Well, I came on a holiday. I came on a holiday with Jimmy Brown, the drummer of UB40. His family and my family came over here to see a mutual friend in mm-hmm. Razanac.
Uh-huh.
And we, you know what, we were completely ignorant to the geography of Croatia. I knew it was part of the former Yugoslavia, of course, but certainly didn't realise, you know, the beautiful beauty of the coastline and the islands and nothing about it, really. So anyway, we came on this holiday. We flew into Zagreb. There was no motorway, so we drove the old road down the coast. I remember getting a ferry over to Pag uh-huh. as well.
Okay.
I think we saw dolphins or something. It was kind of like one of those journeys, you know, it's serious. And kind of like fell in love with it on that holiday. And but, you know, never thought of, you know, never thought I'd end up like living here, you know, for 20 years. But what happened was that during that holiday, I was at that point, actually, I was looking for a change in, I didn't want to go on tour anymore. I got two young children. We just finished an 18-month tour, which was a long time, you know, a long time to be away from home. And I was just, you know, looking for something, you know, mm-hmm. something new to do. And during that holiday, this mutual friend of ours, he said, look, you know, there's a venue in the old town of Zadar. Do you want to go and take a look at it? Got a clue what we're, you know, looking at or something. So anyway, I went to see it and, you know, just thought, bloody hell, this is, you know, you don't find mm-hmm. many places like that, you know, that look, the view. It was all actually, it was surrounded by a metal fence and there was a big dog living inside uh-huh. it. But anyway, we kind of climbed over and realised then, it was the old garden for what mm-hmm. was the hotel previously.
Hotel, yes.
And then it was a club, I think, until it was closed yes, down. Yes. I think so. But anyway, it was always a place that was for, you know, for dance and, you know, entertaining and stuff. And I just thought, you know, nothing of it. I went home. And then the following week, this guy called me up and he said, look, you know, it's available. I've spoken to them. It's available. Do you want to come and do something? I said, well, like, you know, like what you're thinking. And he said, well, you know, we'll open a bar and see. I'd never run a bar in my life, ever. And it was kind of like, I suppose, so the timing was perfect because I've got this mindset now of doing something different. If I think that I thought about it longer, then I think I'll probably talk to myself out of it. Mm-hmm. So anyway, I just said, look, you know, shall we do it? And my wife, Charlotte, she said, well, yeah, let's do it. Which again was like, well, okay. And then I came over I suppose it was the end of 2003 when I came back to look at it and we sorted it all out, and which wasn't easy. And then I came over in the April and we started work and we opened that July
mm-hmm.
in 2004. The garden was born.
The garden.
And the name came from, because we never had a name at all, you know, but it was like, then people were talking, oh, I'll meet you at the garden, because it was the garden to the hotel, you know. And that's where the name got. We weren't sitting there all night thinking, well, what should we call it? It just came, you know, and that stuck with us. That stuck with us all throughout now.
Obviously you're in love with Croatia, but do you see yourself staying here forever?
You know what, now I do. I really do. We went through a period. I wasn't sure really, because left school to go to mm-hmm. university. I can't remember the date. My son's, I suppose he's 27. I suppose it was about, God, you know, it's probably 8 years ago now, maybe even longer. But anyway, we thought then, well, you know, maybe we wouldn't stay. Mm-hmm. But to be honest with you, it was home, you know. So we just thought, well, where else are we going to go? You know, this is perfect for us, and it has been, you know.
Festivals in general have changed tourism mm-hmm. in Croatia, and the Garden Festival 20 years ago,
yeah.
Your Garden Festival also made a big shift in that change.
Yeah.
So did you ever imagine that you will be the part of something so big that will change so much the landscape of tourism? And
you know, not at all, to be honest. I mean, don't get me wrong, the reason why we started the festival was for that reason, was for trying to attract people over to Croatia, but really because I wanted to share what I'd found with friends and family and people that I knew to begin with. You know, because I think there was a whole generation of people, not I think, there was definitely a whole generation of people that just didn't know about Croatia
mm-hmm.
because of obviously with what happened in the past, you know. Like my mother used to come to Croatia in the 70s and that, I can't remember, Yugo tours. And, mm-hmm. and in fact, she met her husband in Dubrovnik. He was a taxi driver in Dubrovnik, believe it or not. But anyway, so it was, but it certainly wasn't, you know, we certainly wasn't trying to create a movement as mm-hmm. such, you know, but it worked. You know, we did the first one in 2006. We had, I don't know, 400 people come, friends and family and people that we knew from the industry and some key press, actually. Like there was a guy that we knew, Paul, from the Guardian newspaper that did a great write-up for us. But I remember after the event finished, we just sat there. I said to my wife, God, we'll never do that again. You know, it was like, it was just a shambles from the start. You know, it was very, you know, like things like that. I remember the first morning, you know, like someone looking at me and going, has anybody organised cleaning up? It's called. Not me, you know. So, but in the end, everybody got together, and it was kind of that feeling, you know, that real like togetherness that was special. And I think after about a month, people were starting to contact me, just saying, "Oh, listen, you've got to do that again. That was just the best experience that we had," you know.
Did you plan for that? I mean, you opened a bar, then came the festival, then came the brewery. Did you plan all that or?
No, I didn't. It's just kind of like
it came along.
It's been an organic progression, really, which for me is the best way. I think, you know, if I start planning things, plans always go wrong, you know. So I think if opportunities come your way, I think then you know that you should go with it. You follow your heart, you know. I mean, my partner will probably say I'm wrong, you know, but but I think that's what I've always done, and it seems to work for me. It was more of, and still is to this date, to be honest with you, is more of a lifestyle mm-hmm. than a business.
Obviously,
and that sounds ridiculous because now it's a successful business, but that's certainly what it is. Mm-hmm. I've been very lucky, really.
You said earlier that the Garden Festival doesn't exist anymore.
No.
Yeah, but how do you feel now about that? Are you? I mean, of course, you probably.
You know, it's bittersweet, you know, because I think. But everybody hated me when I said that we were going to stop it after 10 years. But after 10 years, it was at the top
mm-hmm.
there. And I really thought that it was important that we stopped it at the top. So people always had that memory, you know, the memory of how good it was. And it also gave me the time, because it's so time consuming promoting and mm-hmm. putting on the event. I don't think people realise that it also gave me the time then to focus on other things that I thought that we could make better, and actually then make the whole scene, let's say, you know, grow into what it's become, which I think is really important. You know, it's really important, certainly for the economy in general in mm-hmm. Croatia. You know,
yeah. But first was Zadar, then Tisno.
Yeah.
So how Tisno? Came on. Why not Šibenik? Why not Dubrovnik?
You know, again, that was kind of like that was you know, completely not something that we planned at all. We in Zadar, I think it was in 2011, in the October of 2011, we had our contracts cancelled with the hotel mm-hmm. that we used to, the site where we used to do the event, And I had to find somewhere else, and we had to find somewhere else because tickets had already gone sale for 2012. And by that time, you know, we were, it was busy, you know. So we had to find somewhere else, and we had to find somewhere that was located, you know, between Split and Zadar Airport. And we it was difficult, you know. And then my partner at that time stumbled across Tisno, you know, in the, at the hosting site in Tisno, stumbled across this site and just kind of like, you know, this could be perfect. So I went down the following day and we found out that it was owned by, well, it was Hosting, it's a subsidiary of Ina. And I contacted the director the following day and just said, look, you know, is there any chance? And it's, you know, the site was great because it was built for the workers for Ina to have their holidays back in the socialist time. So and there were still, you know, 20 or that families still there, you know, having their holidays and stuff there, which stayed there with us for the first few years, actually. But anyway, they said yes.
How do you find a festival scene in Croatia? It's actually, there are number of festivals are growing in Croatia. And what are you doing this summer? Also.
Well, I mean, I think it's you know, it's very healthy, you know, because it's not easy. I think last year, I think something like 93 festivals in the UK went under. When we finished the Garden Festival, what we decided we'd do was concentrate our efforts on the production side of things, and creating a space that was kind of like a turnkey festival site. Where we'd put the production in at the start of the season and take it out. We'd begun this in Petrochana and taking it out at the end of the season, which meant then what we could do was use the same basic structure of, you know, sound equipment, lights and stages and etc. for every event, which means the costs for the production are shared amongst all of the events, because otherwise it would be extremely difficult, you know. Unless it's a, you know, a large scale event, and for us, it's always been important that we cap the capacity, so the infrastructure of the village, firstly Petrochana and second Tisno, and the surrounding the Murta and Jezera and Pirovac, can actually deal with the influx of people, because otherwise it becomes a nightmare and you won't get people back, you know. So it was always a long-term goal, you know. We grew the Garden Festival over a period of 3 years from 400 people to 3,000 people. And we could have gone bigger, but we made a conscious effort to keep it small, but then add in other events. And then we invited friends that we knew that were in the same industry, mainly from the UK, because that's where we were from, to do the same thing. And that's what we did. But now we've got eight events this year in Tisno, one from Holland. We've got an Australian guy, Tom, who's actually, he was born in Australia, but his roots are from Croatia. Uh-huh. He's got a new event called Balance this year, which has done extremely well and sold out. In fact, this year it's been, after COVID, we had a really difficult year. We cancelled everything in 2020. Mm-hmm. We had a difficult year in 2021. 2022 was our best year ever. And then it kind of like, you know, it's been pretty much on a level. But this year again, now we found another kind of like lease of life. You know, but it is difficult, you know, like I'm saying.
What is actually the most difficult part in organizing the festival? I mean, you know, we come to festival and everything is beautiful, wonderful, lots of beautiful people, nice drinks, great music, and everything seems so smoothly done.
Well, believe me, it's not. It's not at all. How, you know what it is? It's about putting together a great team of people, you know. And I think, I mean, that took us a long time to do, because all we do, from the moment we arrive there, and you know, organisation, coordination, all of these things, of course, are important. But basically what we do is we problem solve, constant problem solve, you know. So from the outside looking in, it's, you know, everything, hopefully, touch wood, is smoothly run. Our aim is the following day to make the site feel and look exactly the same as it was the day before. That's our aim.
You learn that you have to clean after the.
Yeah, but that's a funny story, you know. And we learned that going along the first ever garden festival. You know, we woke up in the morning and we'd gone down to the site, and of course it was like complete mess. And I remember looking at my partner Eddie and Charlotte and just saying, like, "Who's did you organise clean up?" And everybody just looked at each other. We actually went down to the shop, the local shop in Petronat, and bought a load of bin liners and did it ourselves. But it was great. All the DJs helped and everything, you know. And that's, I think that's what made it special.
Great. Do you think Croatia has recognised the full potential of festivals?
That's a difficult one. No, I don't think it has. I think there's a gap between, the organisations that put these events on that risk their own funds. And, you know, and believe me, this kind of like, you know, this sweet spot is getting smaller and smaller with the rising costs, you know. You know, so I really admire them. I really do wish that there was some kind of like, I don't know, like organisation that would try and bring together the National Tourist Board, let's say, with this kind of like younger generation of people, because the events that go on today, and we proved this with the Garden Festival, which was the first Garden Festival was 20 years ago. All of those people, not all of them, but a lot of those people from the Garden Festival now come back to Croatia for their holidays with their families, to go to events. You know, so it's that kind of like, you know, that circle of people. And I just think that we miss an opportunity. I think if we work together more, don't get me wrong, I have a great relationship with the local authorities and everybody we work with, but it could be better. It could be better with all the events and that as well, you know, we should speak more.
So you had Garden in Zadar, now you're in Tisno, actually is down in Dalmatia. How did you adjust to the state of mind where everything is
Dalmatia
smoothly, like, you know, no rush, there is time?
I had to learn patience very quickly. I remember going to Fina for the first time and thinking, what?
Fina, yeah.
What is this? You know, it's like I'd get a stamp on the ground floor and then I'd be sent to the third floor and the second floor. But I think after a while, you become part of it. I spent quite a lot of time in Jamaica as well, which is exactly the same.
So when your season in Tisno starts, are you actually like moving to Tisno during the summer? Or?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we go there. Well, I've just come back from there now. We generally start building from the beginning of May now, really, getting the site ready from the beginning of May. I'll go down there the middle of June because we have some events in Zagreb. And then I'll be there until September.
Oh, that's...
Yeah, full on.
Yeah, that's full time. What do you like most about Croatian culture? And what do you think that Croatians don't see in themselves, what outsiders actually see here?
There's so many things that I like, you know. I think that maybe Croatians don't quite see the massive positives there are here. Of course, there's problems. There's problems all over the world, you know. But I think that togetherness, the family togetherness, I think is still there, which I think is, you know, that community spirit, I think is really important. It's so beautiful as well. You know, you've got the city. I love Zagreb. Zagreb is a great size for me. You know, it's like you've still got a lot of stuff going on here. But then, you know, I can be on the coast in 3 hours or I can be in the hills in an hour, which is where I live now in Žumberak, which is incredible. And I don't know, I just think it's a pleasure to live here, really. You know, where, as I've just got back from the UK, and I don't want to diss the UK at all because, you know, that's where I was, that's where I'm from. However, there's such a negative energy there now. You know, it just feels run down. It feels kind of like no one's got that kind of like get up and go. Here, when I arrived here, which is why I'm still here now, when I arrived in Croatia, if I said, oh, should we try and do this? There'd be like, you know, 10 people around me going, yeah, let's do it. You know, which really helps. rather than 10 people going, oh, I don't know whether you should be doing that. Or maybe not, you know, it's like, you know, what about this, what about that? Because then, you know, it's like, yeah, so it's a positive energy. I think it's a beautiful place. I love the fact that the people for me are just, you know, by far the friendliest people and, you know, open people. I wish I could speak the language, you know, I'm still...
Yeah, how's that? Did you have time to learn Croatian?
No, but I've been 20 years.
Well...
Come on, it's like...
I'm trying to be nice.
Yeah, well, thank you very much. Thank you very much, but there's no excuses, you know. No, you know, it's a source of embarrassment.
But, did you try? Is it hard?
Or? I did try. Mm. I went to... My kids are obviously fluent, they're Dalmatian, and they speak Dalmatian. My wife's very, very good now, but me, I just found it. I went to lessons, and they were having to learn me English grammar before they could teach me Croatian grammar. And in the end, I just got all, you know. And you know what? Everybody in the business, and this sounds lazy, and it probably is, but on the business side of things, everything's done in English.
How many people in Croatia actually speak English?
It's still no excuse. Yeah. I remember going on TV once and saying, they asked me how I was, and I meant to say I was tired, and I said, yes, I'm umor or something. I'm a wardrobe. You know, and it's like, oh my God, you know. But I wish I could, to be honest. I understand a lot. Mm-hmm. So you have to be careful what you say.
Okay.
I really do wish, you know, that maybe when I retire or when I take a step back, then I've got the time then of just to...
You'll try to.
Yeah, you know. So I can speak to the local greengrocer who looks at me as if I'm crazy.
I have to ask you about British partygoers.
Yeah.
They have a reputation, you know, for, you know, going all in or not coming at all, drink everything, you know.
Yeah.
Have the British party goers always been like that, or it happens?
I think yes. I mean, you know, I mean, I don't know. I can only talk about my own experience, but I think yes. You know, I think that there's a feeling of when, and of course, when they're coming to an event here. I'm not saying it's any different in the UK, but when they're coming to an event here, we never ever called it a festival, to be perfectly honest. It was a holiday first and foremost, you know, with a musical backdrop. And I think they just want to let their hair down. And going back to Petrichon, I remember there was a press article before the first event saying, oh, you know, the invasion of the English, you know, there's going to be this, there's going to be that, there's going to be this. And then after the event, there was another article that said, oh, no, it was great. You know, they were dancing on the tables, but when I asked them to get off, they did, you know. So there's that happy balance. And I think also as well, and this is another important, I think, about keeping the capacities to a manageable amount, is that generally then the events are policed themselves, you know. Mm-hmm. They, you know, if somebody sees somebody that's out of line, they're like, oh, you know, come on. I think it's important that, you know, that two-way respect thing. I think, you know, I think if you respect people, they'll respect you back. Generally, of course, we'll always find a few.
But they are really like kind of.
But they do
wild,
like
wild,
to party.
Wild bunch of.
Yeah.
Of
we do. People. We do one event, Dekmantel, which is Dutch, and that's 90% Dutch people there, and there's a massive difference in the crowd. But you know, but we do. There's tickets sold to. I think last year it was something like 80 countries or something. So it's pretty like. This year, I can't believe the amount of Australians that are joining us this year. Well, there's one reason, because of this event called Balance. But I was talking to the guys from Terminal V, and their biggest country so far for ticket sales is Australia, which is...
Right, amazing.
It's bar me, yeah. It's the other side of the world. I mean, obviously, they're not just coming for the event, they're travelling around Europe. But I think there's some connection with Australia and Croatia, definitely.
Do people still come to you today and say, oh, you're that guy from UB40?
Yeah. 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 I mean, I was never in UB40, of course. You know. I mean, I worked with UB40 all my, on and off all my adult life until I moved to Croatia. in fact. And then 5 years before I came to Croatia, then I worked with...
But how did it happen that everybody thinks that?
I don't know. You know, because my partner originally was the drummer, Jimmy. Okay. Jimmy from mm-hmm. Jimmy was the drummer all from right. UB40. And it was like, then it was kind of like, oh yeah, the guy from UB40 has opened a bar in Zadar.
Exactly, and that was the headline. I mean? And you just, you know, when you have a headline, the guy from UB40 opened a bar in Zadar, then that stays in people's mind. And
then I worked, you know, and then we worked together. We had a production company called Star Company Productions. And we did, it's the last thing we did, we worked with Cartoon Network and we did the music for a cartoon called The V-Birds. And that was just before I came. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That was me, the drummer, and the bass player, Earl.
If you start your first festival today, what would you do different than what you did 20 years ago?
I'd make sure we had cleanup the following day, number one. What would I do different? I don't know whether I would, to be honest. I mean, obviously, it's completely different now because we've got a whole team of people that work with us that, you know, to do... I mean, basically, at the beginning, it was myself and my wife in the garage of our house in Petrochina, where we lived, doing everything from there. You know, my wife did the transfers and you know, it was a very work-intensive. So I think what I would do different is that I would make sure that I had a good team of people around me, I suppose, is the one thing. But when I look back, I don't think, I really wouldn't change any of course things that, you know, I would wish that we'd have done better. But I think every little part of it created that journey, which is 20 years long now, which for me is quite remarkable, you know. Mm-hmm. I'm really proud of that. I'm really proud of the fact that we managed to keep things going because it's been difficult. It's not been, you know, it's not been plain sailing. It's been extremely difficult with ups and downs and everything in the middle, you know. I mean, and then, you know, in 2000, when we finished the festival, Garden Festival in 2015, there was a reason for that because we'd been talking about opening a brewery for a couple of years, but never had the time or the funds to do it. And then I was introduced I was introduced to a guy actually who was going to work help us raise the funds for the brewery, mm-hmm. and we met in Zagreb and went out for dinner and really got on extremely well from two different ends of the world, you know, from the corporate side and from the side where I'm at. And we just got on really well. And he just thought, yeah. And he said to me, look, you know, I'd like to be involved. And then it's gone from there. You know, it's changed again. So it really has been a journey that I don't think if you took one of the little bits out of it, we wouldn't be there. You know.
So how's the brewery going?
That's great. It really, yeah. I mean, it's quite a surprise. Well, it's not a surprise, but it's great, you know. It's hard work. I don't have much to do with the day-to-day running of it. They try to keep me out of it, the day-to-day running of it at all. However, we've just developed a new product called Scoop, which is a beer that I've been pestering them for 2-3 years now, which is a really kind of like standard lager beer with a low percentage alcohol. And also now there's fruit flavours, the pink guava and lime and pineapple and that. Because for events and stuff, you know, people don't want complex beers.
All right, okay.
You know, so what I wanted to do was kind of create something that was more for the masses than the craft mm-hmm. side of it, you know. So we're trying to cover everything. I love it, you know, and we do events there, of course. Mm-hmm. And Žitnjak, you know. People thought we were mad when we were doing that.
Yeah, that was really when I heard first time I heard something, Žitnjak. Why would everybody go to Žitnjak?
No, I mean, you know what? This is how little we knew. We were looking in the centre of Zagreb for a space, but of course, it would have been impossible, you know, with like the logistics and stuff. And then somebody said, oh, there's a place in Žitnjak. No, I had no clue where it was on the east side. And I went over in an industrial estate where docking is. But what interested me was this, that in that area, in its heyday, there was 40,000 people working there, which is a big infrastructure. Mm-hmm. Now I think it's between 5,000 and 8,000 people. And I just thought, well, hold on a second, you know, really and truthfully, if you do something well, if you do something right, then people will go to that, you know. It doesn't need to be in the centre. It can be on the outskirts. And it also then frees us up to do other things, you know. We can do like a, you know, bigger events without disturbing people. And, you know, so then, you know, I remember saying, well, you know, we'll go for it in on an industrial estate in Gignac. And I want to tell you what else as well. There's a little restaurant on the car park, and I can't for the life of me think what the name is. It's a Dalmatian restaurant in Gignac.
Okay.
Anyway, it's busy from like 11 o'clock in the morning until it closes at night time. So I just thought, well, hold on, if they can do it, we can do it. and we did, and I like the fact that we breathed a little bit of life back into an industrial estate.
I mean, it's a great story, actually. I mean,
yeah,
Gignac is probably like revived with the...
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think it will continue. I hope it will continue to do. We moved from the one brewery, and then we expanded, you know, which was mad in itself, to now a new brewery, which was a garden centre, which is funny. And you know, we doubled our capacity, and we do a lot. We do, I don't know, I'm not sure of the numbers, to be honest. Mm-hmm. So don't swear me to this, but you know, about 30% is export. We do a lot of retail, so we're in Lidl and Spa, and you know, and Consum and all the shops and that. We purposely didn't. We backed off from HoReCa. But are now going back into to concentrate on retail. We've just got into Asda in the UK, which is another big supermarket chain. So it's going, yeah, it's going really well. And of course, we supply the events, which enabled us to keep our independence, you know, which again, I think is important.
So, summer, what, which gig of yours we shouldn't miss?
Oh. Well, I mean, they've all got their good spots. I mean, for me, I've got a massive soft spot for Love International, because Love International, we had the Garden Festival, and the Garden Festival basically turned into Love International. The two guys that run into Love International worked for us at the Garden Festival, so it was kind of that changeover. And this year, it's quite special because it's 10 years of Love International and 20 years of the Garden, of course. So we've got Bonobos coming out, and the Garden are doing stage takeover on Barbarella's and the main stage, and a boat party as well. And we've got Bonobo coming over to play, which will be quite special. But, you know, they've all got their great spots. Deck Mantle I really like, you know, musically. For me, I like Deck Mantle musically. But then you've got some that I don't understand. I'll be lying if I said that I did understand it musically. But you know, but I've got the energy of like Terminal V and stuff like that. You know, which is a lot younger. Uh-huh. Player. Although they're all young compared to me now. I'm like that odd old man walking around the festival.
Old man walking around the festival.
Yeah, yeah. You know what I mean?
Looking after the kids. Yeah,
yeah. I have to be careful.
Nick, thank you very much. I hope you will get some sleep during the summer. How about that?
Yeah, well, I wouldn't Not count on that, but yes, of course. Yeah, yeah. No, thank you very much. It's been really interesting.
Yeah, have a great summer.
Yeah, and you too. Yeah. And if you please come down and visit us anytime.
I would be very pleased to go, because I haven't been, and that would be great.
No, whichever event, just let me know.
All right, thank you very much. See
ya. Cheers, see ya.